It's in Luke chapter 2. Let me give you a page number. 1028. Joel, can you get some Bibles for the ladies on the front row here? Because there weren't some on the seat. So 1028. Thanks. Oh, even better. We can see. So Luke chapter 2, and I'm beginning at verse 25. Just the background to this is after the baby had been born, Jesus the baby had been born, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. The shepherds had been to see him and had gone back and reported everything. And then a few weeks later, it was the Jewish tradition that the parents would take the baby to Jerusalem. To present him to God at the temple or palace of God there. So that's the setting, and I'm reading from verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Well, we'll stop there. Do please keep that passage open. I'm going to talk about the words there. But just to help us think about the theme here, I've got a couple of questions for you. First question should come on the board, on the screen. Here we go. Donald Yetta Gardner. Anyone know that name? What Christmas hit did he write? This is a songwriter rather than a singer. And it's from a while ago. You'll kick yourself when I tell you the answer. Anyone know? This will be one to store away for your quiz questions in the future, isn't it? Steve, give us the answer. "All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth." Okay? I'm not going to ask anyone to sing it, but apparently it's been a hit in a number of places, a number of times. Next question. What did Mariah Carey say she wanted for Christmas? Yeah. "All I Want for Christmas is You." Okay, slightly similar titles, but there's a bit of a difference, isn't there? Mariah Carey's Christmas is not about gifts in that song. I mean, you hear that song everywhere, and you'll be glad to know I'm not going to try and sing it. But in that song, she sings, I don't want a lot for Christmas. There's just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree." She doesn't care about the presents, won't hang her stocking up. Snow won't make her Christmas special. She even isn't making a Christmas list for Santa, which would be kind of weird because she's an adult. But anyway, she's hoping for something that will make Christmas turn out that everything's going to be right. And she sings it again and again in that song. It's if her baby turns up on the doorstep. "I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you, baby. As you can tell, I've not been singing it enough. Or heard it enough, yeah. It's a romantic song, isn't it? It would be very exciting in real life. Now, the Christian part of Christmas is about a baby who does turn up. Not on the doorstep, but a baby does turn up. And this man, Simeon, he doesn't often feature in our Christmas thinking, does he? We think about the angels, we think about the wise men, we think about Mary and Joseph, but Simeon's part of it as well. Let me read to you again from verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. So Luke tells us a whole load of things about this person. It's a man. In the very next episode, he's going to tell us about a woman who's also going to say something about Jesus. We know this man's name. He's called Simeon. We know what he's like. He's righteous and devout. That means he's a good man. He obeyed God. And we know what he's doing. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for God to console Israel. Now, that's not about the modern nation state of Israel. It's the name for God's people in Old Testament times. And console means you give someone comfort. A consolation prize was what I always won when I was in competitions. You know, you get comforted because you didn't do so well. Consoling is giving comfort and encouragement. And it's like, last thing it says, that the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit is God's presence. So God is especially close to Simeon, which means what he's going to say is not just Simeon's opinion. This is a message from God. And God had given Simeon a promise. We read that in verse 26. It had been revealed to him, to Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah, before the promised king over God's people. And so verse 27, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents, that's Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. And he says, verse 29, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. What he's doing there, he's speaking to God. And the Bible says, God is a person who's made all that there is. We can't see leaves on the trees at the moment. They've dropped, haven't we? But the Bible would say God has made every leaf on every tree. He's directed that they've changed their colors and that they've fallen from the trees. God will enable trees to produce new leaves next year. You sit on a bus and you go down a street and you see into people's houses, you see the windows, you wonder what's going on behind those windows. God knows. This is the person Simeon is speaking to, this great being the Bible calls God. And God had said, Simeon, you're going to see this great thing happening. And Simeon says, I've seen it. So I'm done. You know, there's no need for me to live any longer. Please dismiss me. And what he says about Jesus is extraordinary. In verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, those are the people who are not from the Jews, and for the glory of your people Israel. A light, he says in verse 32. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus is light, and light reveals things. Some Steve turned the lights up, didn't he, so you could see the words in the book this evening, and I could see more clearly to read what I'm saying. Light reveals things we couldn't see. And the idea is Jesus brings answers to the big questions that we have in life. Why am I here? What happens when I die? Who am I? What is my identity? And why do I feel so lonely? Big questions like that, Jesus can bring us the answers because he is God's son. So getting to know about Jesus helps us settle on those issues. Let me read on, verse 33, bottom of the page. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Strange language here, but it's a word picture, the rising and falling. Simeon is saying some people will rise as a consequence of Jesus coming and others will fall. Some will rise, will go up to have a better situation. Others will fall to a worse situation. And where you end up all depends on your response to Jesus, according to the Bible. Where you end up depends on your response to Jesus. He is the reference point for our lives now and into eternity. Which direction are we going? It depends on how we respond to this person who at this time was a baby. Those who reject Jesus are heading for a fall. If we welcome him and trust him, we are heading for a rise. And then the final thing Simeon says in verse 35, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now he's speaking there to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary will suffer great sadness. Now, the very next episode, if we had time to look on, we'd look, the very next episode in the account of Jesus' life is when he was a slightly older child. His parents took him to Jerusalem and he got separated from his parents. And as any parents here know, when you lose your child, it's terribly careless, but it's also very upsetting. And it was a time of great upset for Mary. They found him again. And she didn't understand. He's explained his priority was to do God's work. But really it's looking ahead. This word about a sword piercing your soul is anticipating what would happen when Jesus was an adult and he would be executed on a cross, which is why the cross has become the symbol of Christianity. She will have terrible grief then. So Easter wasn't a mistake or an accident. Even when this baby was here in this account, his future is set out. It was always the expected future that Jesus would die in that terrible way. So, the Christian part of Christmas is not a set of rules. Simeon is not praising God here. Oh, thank goodness, I found the instruction book. You know, I found the manual for what I've got to do. The Christian part of Christmas is not a religious experience. It's not events that happen that make us think, oh, I really think there's a God. Or deep feelings of spirituality. The Christian part of Christmas is not about the Christmas spirit even. It's not just about being happy at home with my family. The Christian part of Christmas is this baby Jesus who would grow up to fulfill these purposes that God had for him. And is described here as the light to enable us to know the God who made us and made all things. If you're a believer in Jesus already, please think about how you're going to make sure the Christian part of Christmas does feature in your Christmas. Is this easy, as Joel prayed, for us to be carried away with some of the other aspects of Christmas time? Don't lose the Christian part of Christmas. If you're not yet a believer in Jesus, please do take some of the leaflets that are around and about. Do come back and join us every Sunday morning here at 10:30, or Wednesday morning in the little hall at the end of the car park at 10:30 as well. But there are, I can't see one now, there's some leaflets all over there. Here we go, with the picture of a lion and a lamb. There's a short series of inquiries groups happening in January, February. You'd be very welcome to come to